Hey, and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Ecosystem Podcast, where we aim to help you, the big-hearted change maker with a bold vision, to build a business that gives you butterflies and a life that makes you want to high-five yourself. How? By addressing the interconnected nature of all that you do. From marketing to mindset and everything in between, we believe your business is more ecosystem than monoculture, and that when it comes to creating sustainable success, it's all connected and there is no one-size-fits-all formula. Join us for conversations that embrace nuance, elevate the importance of empathy, and address the diverse and unique strengths that enable entrepreneurs to not just make money, but to make real, lasting, positive change in a regenerative and revolutionary way. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome back. We are so excited to be here today with Jenna Faye Madden. Jenna is a soul sister who also lives in BC, and we connected in a really interesting way. So I'll tell that story later. And for now, I'll give you the scoop on who she is. So Jenna is an internationally acclaimed leadership mentor and seven-figure conscious business coach. She is the CEO of Soul Meat Strategy and specializes in guiding conscious female entrepreneurs to activate their leadership and accelerate their business profitability to multiple six figures and beyond. And she is a talented creatrix in just so many ways, capacities. Yeah, she's super into sovereignty and healing the land and growing food and many things that we are also pretty into. So welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the intro as well. I can't wait to jam out with both of you ladies today.
And now I want to know how you connected before we dive into our much more formal questions.
Yeah, well, Dawn is kind of a part of this because Dawn posted on Facebook, she shared our Workaway listing when we were actively looking for support on the land here and with the kiddos. And then Jenna had seen that, and because I was tagged in it, so it wasn't even my own post, it was Dawn's. And then you reached out and you were like, hey, this is cool. We have this Google Doc of all the things we're into and looking for. And I opened this Google Doc and I was like so impressed. I even showed my husband and was like, whoa, these people sound freaking amazing. And yeah, you know, we're looking for similar things and really like-minded. And then we got to meet IRL, and yeah, it was really a synchronistic series of events.
I remember how excited you were about that Google Doc. Actually, you're like, Dawn, you'll never guess about this person I met. And yeah, really great. Cool. Well, it's nice to finally meet you, Jenna. I'm glad I could facilitate whatever this is going to be, because we don't know yet, do we?
Thank you so much for kind of introducing us, and now I get to meet you today, and that's so fun. And it was so funny when I made that Google document, it was really more of my own internal process of just listing out what we're looking for. And I remember when I saw that post get shared and I thought, well, I'm not really looking to be a workaway, but I turned to my husband. I said, I think that's that quiz girl. And then read over it. And then even though I'm really introverted, felt the call to basically reach out and say, hey, let's be friends. I like what you're up to. And so cool. And I feel that you just have the best place. Like, you've created this little heaven on earth that's unfolding, and such an honor to go and visit it. And it helps my manifesting vibes too, to come see you out in action with your family there.
Yeah. Yes. Happy to be an expander for what you are looking to create. And how's it going to just like have a little tangent. I'm just curious how the land search is coming along.
Yeah. You know, it's really truly one of those things where I feel it's all in divine timing because it really hasn't happened, but I also feel way more at peace than ever, which is actually a really great cycle breaker because sometimes we get so set on something or we get these dopamine hits. So as someone that's moved more times than I can count on my hands in the last half a decade, I am also just okay with letting things unfold. But it's also that this time and space has been revealing a bigger vision as well, where before I thought it was about getting a 5-acre hobby farm kind of situation, but my husband and I have been in this course and this program about getting investors and creating something bigger. And it's this process of layers where we get all these really great ideas, but then also we're using our discernment of which ones actually make sense, because we do, let's say, want to be community oriented and have community, but I also don't want to be a full-time trailer park manager, essentially, of a glorified trailer park, of having 20 tiny home rentals to manage and be on the ground. So we're using our discernment to figure out exactly what it's all going to look like. But yeah, the business plan, the vision, all of it's really shaping up that I feel that we could have our new earth investors coming into this literally in the next 30 days. So who knows, I could be moving onto land with a house that's already ready this year, but I'm also being open to the possibility this could be raw land. This could be something that needs renovations or something I haven't even yet considered, but it feels like it's within grasp, like it's actually starting to come into my field. So I feel excited at the same time.
Amazing. I love it. That's funny. We were just talking before that and I was like, yeah, I don't think my dream is a little 5-acre hobby farm anymore. We didn't even like go into that, but yeah, I love it. Amazing. Cool. We don't have too much time, but I want to know, is the course with the Azen people?
Totally is. Yeah. And we went to, I don't know if you've been out there, but we went out a week ago and I fell and sprained my ankle, but had such a good time. But I had to sit out the last half of the tour because I was a hurting unit, but we had a really good time and their mentorship has actually been really helpful to plug into something like that, where I feel like we have a lot of the skills for the business plan and the model, but also to connect with other people, both the creators of the course and the people in it, has been really eye-opening for us to hear what works, what doesn't, all that kind of stuff. Are you guys familiar, it sounds like, with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was supposed to be teaching at a retreat that was supposed to happen there earlier this year. And then I follow them. So I've just been getting their like Insta ads for that course. Yeah. So yeah, really cool. We should link them definitely in the show notes because they seem really, really amazing. And I definitely want to go check it out. It's not far from... Yeah, we could like meet there halfway or something, Shanti. It's like a similar-ish distance between where you and I are now. Oh, anyway, that idea is for a different conversation. So I won't go.
That would be a cool episode to interview them.
Totally. They probably love that. Yeah. They're really heart-centered and it's definitely still a work in progress out there, but they've created a lot. They've had a lot of people go through their course and I can already say it's well worth the $300 to go through this course. Girl. Like even if you get one nugget from it, it's totally worth it. So yeah, I would encourage anyone listening to this that's in BC kind of vicinity, go scope it out. Or if you want to get investors and have a project, check them out.
I feel like all of this could lead so easily into what you do, but we always start with the same question. So let's pretend we're starting right now. Okay. And we'll start with this question, which is, do you identify with the characteristics of your Enneagram or your astrology or your human design or your Myers-Briggs? I could keep going, but if you have, not limited to the short list I just brought out.
Yeah, this is such a good question. What a great first question. I would say yes and no, which maybe is a generic answer, but I don't put a lot of energy into those things, but I always kind of look at them as from a place of curiosity. So to be honest, I can't remember offhand my Myers-Briggs. I know it starts with an I. I can't remember the rest. And I can't remember my gene keys. So clearly I don't put that much energy into a bunch of them, but I do know that I'm a generator in human design. And when I read different things, I've studied some books, I've looked at things and it does resonate on some level, but I also I find in my industry, because I have so many clients and women in my field that are really into it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I do find people kind of give away their power in my perspective sometime to these things where they're literally living or dying by it. And that's just not me or my vibe, but I feel like there's some helpful insights. And I even love just off some of the human design bigger Instagram accounts or whatever. And I see stuff for generators and usually feels pretty spot on. And the readings I've had have been pretty spot on too. So if I just use it as a reminder, especially with a sacral authority where I'm like, oh, where am I always saying yes when I really mean no? So I come back into that a lot. And astrology, on regular astrology, I know that I'm a Leo. And in some ways, I kind of identify with that, but I also not so much. And I have some clients that are into, I guess it's called true astrology, where they're talking about how, where we're the season, you know, we're not actually in what they say we're in. So then that changes everything. And I find that quite fascinating too, but also I'm not super into it, but I feel like there's some merit to some of it as well.
Yeah. Happy birthday, by the way. Yesterday was your birthday.
Thanks. Yeah. Sunday I turned 30 years old. Yeah. So that was good times as well.
Nice. Yeah. I love that you, you know, yeah, don't live or die by the labels. It's just tools, curiosities to explore and take what resonates and leave the rest.
And then that makes me think, like, I don't know, because I just started following you, but I feel like, and can we talk about like energetic sales coaching and kind of what that is and what you do? Because I think that a lot of that might be part of that, taking what resonates and leaving the rest, especially in this world of like, do it the way this guru says and you will hit 7 figures in 3 months or whatever.
Heck yes. I really believe that in the online industry and by extension just life in general, there's all these kind of matrix traps where we're giving our power and our own internal knowingness away to outside forces. And while I do believe this is a very co-creative reality that we're in, so we can learn a lot from other beings, other experiences, they're mirroring things back to us, you know, even just specifically in the coaching healing space and energetics behind that, I do feel that it's gotten really distorted, is the word that comes up for me, where the age of the guru in the online space, I feel, is really dying off. I know I don't resonate with it at all. And I still see ads and stuff for it. And it's just a total turnoff for me. Whereas maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I was looking at it like, oh my God, this, the one, they must have the answer. And I feel that as our consciousness continues to expand within all of us, that just resonates less and less and less. Because ultimately, and this is just my perception, I feel it's just the same as God and spirituality and religion, where we're all one, we're all the same. We all have God source energy within us. And it's the separation that gets created that actually keeps humans in this disempowered state. Mm-hmm. So if we think of it from a marketing sales business lens, I kind of feel like it's the same thing, where there's this disempowering loop that's been placed into the field for entrepreneurs. But at the same time, people don't even have to necessarily educate on it as much anymore about moving away from hustle or bro marketing, because the standard is literally elevated that I find most people, at least in my bubble, just simply don't resonate with it anymore. And so they might not even know what they're looking for, but people are looking for a different way, different approach. And I think a lot of it's just coming full center, where people get into entrepreneurship because they're excited and they have these passions and these gifts and they want freedom and flexibility. And then it feels basically like they become an entrepreneurial employee slave a lot of the time to their business, where then they're boxed in by here's how it should be done. And I feel people are just completely shattering that more than ever lately and realizing that the best results actually come from their own intuition, and not the light and fluffy intuition where it's like, just do what you want. If you don't want to work, it's fine. It'll just manifest and show up for you. But aligned intuition, where there's action and momentum backing that, but it's not coming from a place of my coach said I should do this, or this other person's doing it this way, so that must be the only way I can grow my business. I think that those days are pretty numbered, if not done at this point.
Yeah, agreed. And we had a cool episode actually on intuition with Julie Reisler, and we should link to it because it's pretty fascinating the journey that she takes people on how to connect with your intuition. I'm curious, like, how you work with clients on developing that skill as well, because I think for a lot of us, we've been pretty divorced from that sensation. And when we were talking to Julie, I was like, okay, so maybe this is a silly question, but how do you differentiate between anxiety and intuition? Mm-hmm. And like, what does intuition look like when you pair it with action, and when you are applying that to what actions to take in your business?
This is so good. This is an on-the-spot answer to this, because it's not like I have a signature process for tapping into our intuition. But I mean, I will say one of the biggest things I've observed is that most people simply don't trust themselves from all of our childhoods, our society, our upbringing. So if there was one block or something that I see the most in women in business and men too, is not trusting themselves, where they have the knowingness, they get the idea, but then maybe the action doesn't follow, or they kind of pivot and go in another direction because that's where they feel more safe. So I feel that actually one of the biggest words that comes along with intuition is safety, because especially, and I know both of you probably have men in your ecosystem in some format, maybe listeners to this, and I do too, although I feel like I largely speak to women because that's mostly who I work with. And I will say that women really want to feel safe. And when you pair not trusting themselves from their traumas and things that have happened in their lives, and then it gets projected into our businesses, it can feel really unsafe to even lean into our intuition or to identify it. So we disassociate from our own knowingness. So I actually feel like one of the foundations to cultivating our intuition and getting to build the relationship with it so we can discern what is what is to feel safe, to actually feel safe coming back into our body. And whether it's with a mentor or on our own, just to actually be able to look for little bits of evidence and ask ourselves those questions of, does this feel true to me? Maybe it's looking somatically, you know, at the feeling and the sensation in our body. Because I know when I have an inspired idea that's coming through intuitively and really from my soul, it feels exciting and activating, versus if something's coming through from anxiety or fear or limitation or lack, it can kind of also disguise itself as feeling exciting, but there's still some level of contraction in my body. So that has been one of the biggest cues. And I do feel that we've got so many different modalities and things that are disposal, so we can use those and lean into them to get a better sense of our own truth and knowingness. But this is where we've been so conditioned to not trust ourselves that we have to build little things. And sometimes I feel like that it's the hardest thing because we don't have the evidence yet necessarily. And from a business sense, let's say we're launching something we've never launched before, of course, naturally, we're going to have some level of doubt. But to know it's aligned, there also should be excitement and momentum and ideas and things that are flowing and not just contraction. So kind of gauging our openness of how we feel during the experience, I also think can be a really great cue. And then even doing simple things like an evidence list. How did I trust myself today? Or what ideas came through to me today? Or doing things like a detox. I hardly follow anyone online. I mean, I follow people, but I really don't scroll my newsfeed very often or stories. I feel like I go to 10 different people's stories and they're basically friends, past mentors, clients at this point. I'm not really looking for gurus to see what they're doing or how can I reverse hack it. So I think we also can look in our business environment of where can we kind of trim the fat, like where are we leaking our energy so that we actually have the time, space, capacity to even explore what our intuition even is. What does that even mean to each of us?
I love it. Yeah, it's hard to get still enough to even hear what might be intuition versus anxiety if you're like on your stories or scrolling when you wake up and when you go to sleep. I deleted Instagram yesterday and like I didn't even know I was feeling bad until I took it off my phone, and I just like woke up and I was like, oh, I'm so much more clear and nobody else's anything is like pushing on me. I also yesterday woke up and didn't feel like working. I was like, Shanti, I don't feel like working. She's like, do you have to? I'm like, well, yeah. And, but then I got, I have like a little group program and someone in the group, not little as in it's not big, but little as in there aren't a lot of members in it. And someone from the group program had emailed me with questions. And then all of a sudden I was so excited and lit up to help him. And that was such a different place than I had been when I was thinking about like organizing my client work. And I love my clients, so it's not that, but like learning how to listen in on your body or listen into your body and then follow it. I agree. I have definite trust issues in relation to like following it, especially because I think that what's needed right now in the world and what's coming through in the world might be so different than everything else that's been created in so long. So when you have this idea and it's so different from anything else you've seen, or like even like how to launch. And I know that you've got some cool information around that, but like how to launch in a way that doesn't feel like shit. So many clients I feel like are just so stressed out during launch times. And like, why would you even want to, you know, like, why would you even want to put yourself through that for 6 weeks or something, even if you're excited about a program? So yeah, I love that answer. How to like somatically feel into your body and not ignore it. And, but then, yeah, creating that safety and then taking the steps towards trust, like trusting enough in your safety to take the steps out of it. Oof, that's a scary ball game.
Yeah, I feel like that's so good, Dawn. And, it, you know, it really reminds me too of how we have to link pleasure to success. Mm. Like we link everything basically to failure and anxiety and everything that can go wrong. And this is where even with things like launching in our business, I know for me, I used to just be stressed. I would expect stress. So the whole thing would be stress, even if it was on paper successful and sometimes wasn't. It didn't really matter. It was just stressful versus tomorrow I'm starting a launch and I'm like rolling into it from vacation and we moved the deadline out. We moved this, like, it's just so fluid and feels so much easier. And I think it's worth mentioning from the kind of trust question that we've been talking about and intuition and just doing things in our own way. My husband, I think, would be a great case study for this conversation because he was pushing himself to be on Facebook and Instagram for years and creating stuff just from a place of should and what mentors told him to do or what I was doing or, oh, I should be on here. And it just drained him. Like he'd be happy to just pull carrots all day. He doesn't really need to be on social media, but also wants to contribute with his gifts to the world. And then from a totally fuck it kind of place, I hope I can swear on here. He just went for it with TikTok. He thought, this seems kind of fun. I'm just going to experiment. And in the last 100 days or so, he's grown by almost 50,000 followers and his email list is blowing up and people are reaching out to him. And it's truly like, he's just been having fun. He's been winging it. There's been no plan. Only now that he's actually gotten to a certain point, he's like, I should probably launch something. I should do something with this. So all of that came because he finally let go of the rigidity and the plans and how it was supposed to look. And don't get me wrong, like, there was still action. I mean, he's recorded a lot of videos and learned a lot and been doing a lot, but it was from a totally different place than what I've observed in him of like 5 years of social media, digital marketing, where he was like literally hating it the whole time, secretly, not so secretly. So it's a very different energy now to see him being excited, where he's only spending a few days online, but it's fun. And it's not this drain that I feel so many of us get drained in our business. And then we can't even like see through the muddledness of what would even feel good at that point.
Mm. This sits really well with me in relation to like regenerative marketing. Like, first of all, because before we hopped on, you told me that he's like got a permaculture training, right? So I'm imagining for like, please, can we also link to him? Because I want to watch his TikTok, but it feels like the old way of launching or running businesses is like spraying glyphosate. Whereas like following what feels good feels like actually could be, and taking action. I think it's really important. And I want to call to attention, this taking to action that you brought up a number of times, but feels like it could be an important part of like what regenerative marketing is. Cause if it gives you energy, you can keep doing it. You can keep taking action, right? You're not like depleting your personal topsoil. You're actually like putting back into it.
Spencer's TikTok is so awesome.
Like, what is it?
I'm not surprised that he's grown by that much. He seems so excited and passionate about what he's, you know, just the messages he's putting forth, and that makes all the difference. I heard this quote the other day that I have to share, totally relevant to this conversation, and it really hit home for me. So I guess I'll spit it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Hypervigilance is the opposite of curiosity.
Hmm.
And I, for the life of me, cannot remember where I heard this, but I heard it listening to some podcast and it landed and I was like, whoa, yes, there's so much there. And even if you look at the paradigms of like kind of like old ways of doing business, the spray and pray tactics and like monoculture marketing, that's like paradigm of control, right? And relies on hypervigilance in order to like kill all the bugs and weeds. Whereas curiosity, totally different place, but in order to access a state of curiosity, you need safety and that trust to develop where you can explore that. Yeah. So just thought I'd share that as a little tangent slash different way of thinking about what y'all were just saying. But yeah, that like hypervigilant state is so deeply programmed into us and going towards curiosity and going towards what truly lights you up and learning to trust yourself is to me like regenerative whole new paradigm way of operating.
I really love that, Shanti. It makes me think about when I think of hypervigilance, it really feels like a control kind of energy where, of course, that's kind of our natural tendency for most of us is to want to try to control things so that we feel safe. And then when we're in curiosity, I feel like we're also in possibility. And that's one of my favorite energies to be in, is possibility, where it's not even about answering the question, it's just asking the question. Like all the time, I'll ask myself, what else is possible? Or how does it get any better than this? And I don't even need to answer it. It's just putting it in the field and being curious. And of course, there's still human emotion and sometimes disappointment or expectation or things I project. But I feel like if we can realign, it's like a muscle, you know, we can keep coming back more and more. And I think sometimes hypervigilance, we can almost feel that we're on top of it. You know, we're doing the things, we're being really vigilant, we got a plan. But ultimately, I feel like these days that means nothing. The more I plan, the more I just realize there's really, that's just actually a waste of my time. My sister-in-law asked me yesterday if I have a 10-year plan. And I said, no, not really. Like, I, you know, there's high level things. I see myself living on our homestead. I see my business taking a certain direction. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having 10-year plans, but I don't have much of a specific 10-year plan, let alone a 1-year plan at this point. I like to, it's not even live on the fly, but have that kind of high level vision and then be able to kind of just day to day, week to week, launch to launch, month to month, map things out as needed. But even that is still quite fluid. And I think that word goes well with intuition as well, where I kind of ask, one of my favorite other questions to ask from a content creation business type perspective is, what desires to manifest through me today? So even if I have general plans of knowing I'm going to film content or have some stuff time carved out, a lot of the time I don't have very specific things unless I'm working on a specific project, like the quiz I'm creating right now or something. But even that is still, as I'm designing the archetypes and stuff, I'm asking myself, like, what is this desire to be, instead of me projecting my stuff all over it on how I think it's supposed to be done because of how so-and-so did their quiz or whatever. And it's been so liberating to just ask those questions and let that kind of intuitive guidance come through as well. And I think so often we don't create any space in our lives or business for that stuff.
I love that. And it makes me want to come back to gardening. And like, you can't, like, if like your land that you're going to have your 200 acres or whatever, like if you have too much of an idea of how you want it to be before you find it, then the earth isn't going to be able to show you how it needs to be. Right. And I think a lot of the time when we're like, oh, I really want to plant these things, you'll just have the wrong soil. Like it'll just, if you like, you know, if you're pushing too much, if control, like, whereas if you take action and then allow things to surface, you'll know what's supposed to grow well, or like, especially from that permaculture, like really spend a year with the land and see where the sun is at different times of the year. And I was thinking of like hypervigilance as weeding. And like, if you weed everything out before it grows and before you see what it is, you won't know what the soil is missing. You know, I think like maybe growing your audience is the same way too, like, or letting your audience guide you, or letting your intuition and your audience and their needs guide you, rather than just trying to create from like your 10-year business growth plan that your business guru told you it was supposed to look like.
Can I just say I'm loving the gardening theme of this episode?
Oh, I mean, it's the entrepreneur's ecosystem, right?
So good.
Yes. Keeping it on brand.
On brand. That's just, well, that's why this works and why Shanti and I keep doing it too. We like had a sit down because we had a break and it's like, do you want to keep doing it? I'm like, yeah, this is the most fun thing that I do. Of course I want to keep doing it. But that's, I think that's the same sort of thing. Like in our week, this is a fun thing for us to do. And there are other things that are more difficult and don't quite work as well. But if we have an amazing guest, then we can just chat with them and see where that takes us, and allow it to build organically and allow the cool people to find us, you know, but you got to take action, or you have to have a friend take action and tag you in the post or something.
100%.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the universe just gifted me with what you just said about your 10-year plan, which is so funny because I was journaling on this exact thing last night and I was like, what is with me? I do not plan ahead. I do not have a plan further than 3 months out into the future. And I was journaling like, what, why do I do this? Is this just me? Like, well, what's up with it? It just feels so difficult right now to project too far ahead. Like there's just so many unknowns and sort of like the world around us and the economy and the, like, there's just a lot of what if energy. And when I start planning, I get into that and I'm like, no, I just want to actually practice a higher degree of presence and asking that question of like, what wants to come through in this moment, and not dwell too much on like the ideal version of the future that I have in my head right now, because from my experience, that just doesn't ever quite pan out how you expected it to. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Dawn was like pulling some of your recent content and we're just like lightly stalking you in prep for this episode.
Hopefully it was good stuff.
It was so good. And she highlighted a few lines here that I'm just going to read them out loud and maybe we can dig into this a little bit. You said, ready is not a feeling. Trust is not a skill. Permission to express yourself is not earned. They are decisions.
Ooh. I don't even remember writing it, but I like it.
Yeah. I like it a lot. Yeah. And that like trust piece in particular, since we were talking about that, that like, it's not a skill. It's not something that, you know, you're like inherently going to be good at necessarily, but a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. I really feel, and this is just my journey, when I think about growing up, I really didn't trust myself. I don't really feel like I was thrust into situations where that was really cultivated. I feel like in my family, it's not that I wasn't trusted, but even just my surroundings around me, like there was no trust really cultivated. You know, example, if I was walking to elementary school by myself, my parents were projecting on all the kidnappers and pedophiles. And I literally was absolutely terrified as a child in my life and had to go for years of therapy because I was literally so paranoid. So that was kind of my initial relationship with trust. And then also adults around me, like them not trusting themselves, them not keeping their word. And I feel like trust, one of the key words that I think is also interlinked with it is integrity. And integrity, this can be in dynamics with other people and stuff for sure, and that typical kind of relationship trust, but also trust within ourselves to trust the guidance that we're given, to allow ourselves to lean into that. We crave certainty, but I also feel like there often really isn't certainty. We live in a very uncertain time. And so we have to at some point be kind of willing to choose. Like when I was really paranoid, someone was going to break in my house and murder me every day, I had to just choose to not really be available for that timeline. And I think, you know, even with what's going on in our world with the Great Awakening, so to speak, we also kind of get to choose. And it's not like there's just choice one or choice two, but if we kind of zoom out to the most maybe common timeline, so to speak, there's kind of the apocalyptic timeline that people are sensing and feeling could happen. And then there's the new earth timeline. And there's also, I feel like, thousands of other timelines too, and they overlap and all these things. And I kind of think it's the same thing with business and trusting ourselves as well, where our launch could go several different ways, or how our clients find us can happen several different ways. So there still has to be this kind of choice point moment where we kind of surrender in the essence of, well, I'm going to do what I can to show up and contribute. This is how I kind of like to think of manifesting too, where it is a little bit of you go first, the universe goes further. But at the same time, there's this element of, we don't need to have it all figured out with our 10-year vision, but I feel like we still need to feel safe connecting to some kind of vision so that we, you know, even if that's our 3-day vision, but feeling like we can connect to that, because a lot of the time on the other side of the launch or more clients or love or any of these things, we feel like we're going to die on the other side of it. Like it feels so uncertain, so uncharted, so unknown that we don't really trust ourselves, because we feel maybe when we sell out our launch, well, we're going to have too many clients and we feel so at our capacity in our lives. So I don't trust myself to have that much responsibility. Or my mom always said I was terrible with money, so I wouldn't be responsible to make 10K months, or, you know, whatever the story is that we run. So there's still, like, I feel like that moment, that choice point that we get to make over and over and over again of, like, I choose myself and I'm going to choose to be highly intentional, but unattached at the same time. That's like my sales motto as well, as high intention, low attachment, where you want to do things with intention. Otherwise, like, what's the point of showing up if it's not in alignment with where you want to go or how you want to contribute? But otherwise we're going into that hyper overactive, trying to control everything kind of energy. And that's also kind of a limitation in itself. So I do feel from manifesting, so to speak, that we will move faster and with more ease towards whatever the vision is, even if it's 3 days out, when we're in the energy of, instead of I have to make this happen, it's like, how can I show up and accelerate the process? How can I show up and contribute to this anchoring into my reality? And it really takes a lot of the burden and the pressure, I feel like, off of us. And it that in itself builds some level of trust if we're willing to say, well, I'm going to show up and do what I can do, but I know that I don't have to, this isn't the only way it's going to happen. I don't have to be the only one responsible for this, and the rest can be revealed. So I don't know if that makes sense based on whatever I said that you just read, but that's my thought that comes through from that.
No, I love it. And I think so often, like, our plans are limited by what we believe is possible, but the universe wants to give us way more than what we could ever imagine possible. So if you're trying to make a 10-year plan, you might not even know. For some reason, I'm thinking about those one-wheeled skateboards that are so close to hoverboards. Like, you could be hoverboarding in 5 years. Are you going to imagine that? Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't even know what the possibilities that could be coming up are. So trying to like strong arm them into existence is probably just getting less than what the world might have in store for you. But if you don't take action, you ain't getting nothing.
Yeah. And what you said about vision too, and like the importance of having a vision, and that, funny enough, is where my little journaling session ended up, was like, all right, I don't need a plan. I don't need to know, you know, what I want to have achieved a year from now. But what I do want to work on is developing a clearer vision. Mm. And I wrote, like, I think that I shy away from that because it feels like such a big endeavor. Like, yeah, I need to like block off a weekend, do an ayahuasca journey, really like carve out a lot of space to fully step into what that vision is. And right now that's not going to happen. Mm. So I was like, what if I start with just like little baby steps toward what the vision is? And what if exploring that is actually from looking through the lens of like, well, what do I want? But to start with, what am I currently experiencing that I don't necessarily want? And that was like my end/starting point of like, okay, this is what I'm going to like journal on for the next little while and just try and like chip away at this. So yeah, but that like vision development process is so big and intimidating.
Mm. That's kind of... Okay. So this brings us back to the beginning of that post, which is ready is not a feeling, which I thought was so interesting because so many people are like, I don't feel ready. Even myself, like, I don't feel ready to like go into crow pose. I've been teaching yoga for 9 years next month, and I don't feel ready to go into crow pose. The only time I've ever done it well is just when I went into it. I didn't feel ready, right? And I think it's the same thing like on the climbing wall where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that thing. I'm like, just do it. And like, that's how it actually works. Also, though, this vision that you're talking about, and Jenna, you were saying the word discernment a lot at the beginning of this episode. And I think that without a vision, you can't have discernment. And you don't have to have the vision like mapped out in perfect technicolor and everything makes sense. But there has to be like that, a bit of the vision. And without it, you won't be able to make decisions that move you towards that because there won't be like the... Yeah, how can you be discerning without something to discern towards or away from?
Mm, yeah, this is so good. Yeah, because I do agree. I feel like we need direction, you know, so we can have kind of guidelines. It's like how I talk to clients with content creation. We don't need to have a content plan that's perfectly mapped out, but you might want to have some guidelines where you know that you're committed to posting at least 3 times a week, or you're committed to putting out a weekly podcast episode, like these guidelines. So we have something to refer to, but not so much that it feels rigid that we want to rebel from it. And I kind of feel it's the same with our vision, where as things are revealed to us, and part of this, I think, is being open and available in the first place, but also that kind of curiosity energy, where if we're not receptive to it, we're probably not even noticing the different ideas and clues and things that can get dropped in if we're just in the energy Shanti's describing, where it's like, I'm going to journal on this and just explore it for a while. There's no specific outcome or map that has to be filled out, but just allowing the clarity to come in. And another thing on the vision side of things that I like to think of it as is what I call our vision beyond the vision, where our vision can be literally like this launch or this month, or, you know, the short-term stuff where we can like see far ahead enough generally to have a vibe of what we'd like it to look like. And we don't have to know all the how, but there's some structure. Our vision beyond the vision, I mean, that could be the 10-year plan, the 5-year plan, the 1-year intention. It doesn't have to be that clear either, but I feel like it's almost like we need to drop in sometimes to the energy of, let's say, the rest of the year. You know, let's say we have some clarity on what that's going to look like. It can just be a fun, unattached exercise in itself to literally just ask, okay, well, if that just happened right now, now what? What's on the other side of that? And even if it's just super high level of thinking, well, with that extra cash flow, I would hire an additional team member. Or, you know, when this opens up and that launch is over, I'm going to take a sabbatical for a month. Like, we don't have to know much, but just a little bit even. And I feel that can really help our nervous system relax and go, oh, well, number one, on the other side of that, it's not death. It's not terrible. It's not something I actually need to simultaneously be pushing away while I'm trying to be in motion forward to it. Because it feels like on the other side of whatever this is, the launch, the month, the quarter, whatever, it feels really good. It feels like it's a good direction. Magic is happening over there. So we naturally move towards it with a bit more ease. And I feel like more and more clarity comes in because of that. And on the other side of that, I feel what it naturally does too, is it makes it so that whatever the short-term thing is that we have the clarity on makes it feel like a milestone. It makes it feel like a little bit less big and audacious, where it feels more bite-sized and more doable. And it's helped me, I know, so much where even, let's say, with this land and the vision of what we're creating, where I have the kind of shorter term of knowing that we're making a business plan and a pitch deck and plugging into investor networks. And I have a general sense of what we're looking for enough that I'll be able to communicate it. But I haven't spent a year on the land to know where the sun is going to set and these things. But I have enough of a sense to know that once we have the land, it's going to be good. You know, it's going to be work, but this isn't something where I'm now fighting myself of, oh my God, will I be able to hold that and my marriage and maybe have babies and my business? Like, I've already kind of faced off with those shadows just from allowing myself to kind of go, well, what happens when we get the land? And I'm like, oh, well, it could actually be really good. You know, I feel good about this. It feels safe. Like, I can calibrate to that. So I feel we can apply that in so many areas. And often we don't. We're so fixated on just getting some kind of clarity or plan that we don't go, well, like, what's beyond that? And even if it's super vague, I think that just the action of and the question of that and the curiosity just naturally makes everything else fall into place a little bit easier.
Mm. I feel like a lot of people these days talk about, instead of trying to figure out what you want, figure out how you want to feel. Is that something that resonates with you? And is that something that could be related to a vision? Like, for my vision for Shanti is relaxation. I'm like, when you said like the vision beyond the vision, I was like, oh, time off for Shanti. Right. So like, but I wonder, yeah, is that something that you teach or you share or part of your method or yeah.
I would say yes, yes, and yes. And I think sometimes we're doing ourselves a disservice when we simply just ask our clients ourselves, how do I want to feel? I'm the first one to admit I've definitely in many different ways disassociated in my life. And I even used my business for a really long time as a way to not feel. Mm-hmm. And as you know, on paper and Instagram, it looks great. We've traveled the world. I have my soulmate. But the reality is most of the time I was stressed and burnt out. And we would move to all these different places in the world. And I remember living in Australia and New Zealand, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't have any friends because we're in new environments. I'm willing to make new friends, but also we were living in really random rural areas or moving frequently. So I didn't really have friends. So I literally wouldn't know what to do. I completely ditched my morning and evening practices. And outside of hanging out with my husband and adventures, every other nook and cranny in my life was filled up with work. I was like, well, I may as well work. I like my work, so I'll just keep working. That even to now, I still struggle a lot of the time with how do I want to feel? Like, there's something actually challenging in that, yet so simple for me. So that in itself has been a practice. But I also find for many of us that have disassociated in some form or fashion for so long, simply how we want to feel might not be enough of a motivator. I don't know if that makes sense, but mm-hmm. knowing I want to feel more relaxed is part of it. But I personally need some tangibility, you know, even if it's just like examples of like, well, almost take it a step further, because I do feel how I know that how we feel is essentially more important than just whatever the vision is. Because we can have all the things on our vision board, but still feel like shit. So the feeling part is the key part. And I feel like we need to integrate it with some of these other parts so that it can actually come full circle, or else we're chasing just a feeling or just a vision. And the two, I think, kind of need to match up, where maybe it's Shanti wants to feel more relaxed, which I would like some more of that boat too, and more time off. And it's like, well, what would that look like? And even this trip I'm on right now is a good example where I take for probably almost 2 years now, a flex week off every month. I only see clients 3 weeks out of the month on Tuesdays, Thursdays, yet I'm always really busy. So even, and I take flex weeks off and I say we're going on vacation or something, but I'm usually still working largely during that time. So it was even a really big stretch for my 30th birthday trip to actually like fully take Friday off, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and really today off minus this podcast. And then we're driving tomorrow. So it's basically a week off. And I will be the first to admit, I really rarely allow that without trying to continuously work in the background of that. So for me, it's connecting into, I want to feel more relaxed and less busy, but then I need to translate that into like, what does that look like in my life? Like, what are some tangible things? So I don't know if that makes sense, but that has been my truth when it comes to the feeling, but also the vision and how these things all interrelate together.
I just think this is so funny because we're like dissecting my whole journaling session and this is also connected to it. So in this, I'm just going to like lay it all out. You guys are basically reading my journal right now, but during that time I was like, all right, so what do I not want? And I would say the easy answer is, well, I want to work less. But then I was like, but is that actually true? And then I started thinking about it and dissecting that and like, well, what is working give me? Because if I really wanted that, I could make that happen. Like there's no one breathing down my neck saying like, no, you're not allowed. Right. So if I really wanted that, I would already have it. And so what is the work giving me? And what I kind of came to was like, well, if I'm not working, what am I going to do? I'll be mothering. Which all I already do, it feels sometimes, is like be in like mama mode or boss mode. And then there's like not that much in between. And so it's kind of exploring that in between of like, well, what would I do? And my not knowing and the discomfort that comes with that is part of the impulse to like just fill that space with work where I do know and I have certainty and I have confidence and I can like, yeah, feel fulfilled to a certain degree. So that was a funny realization too of like, yeah, what is this thing that I say I don't want and yet it's serving me in some way.
Yeah, this is like a good like shadowy work aspect, which I love the inner workings of getting to hear your journaling session. Plus I like it because I feel like it's a mirror for me of being very similar and doing very similar things where, yeah, it ultimately I think for, I don't know if it's true for everyone, but I know for me, as you're saying that, yeah, it's the identity piece, you know, and I think this can happen business or not, motherhood, you know, so many different ways, even in a corporate career where we kind of lose ourselves and who are we outside of those identities? And I find a lot of new entrepreneurs go through this, where I remember when I started my business 5+ years ago and I'm grinding and like doing, you know, it's like my whole life, it was my baby at that point, that I didn't even really know what to talk about when I'd see other people. It was basically, I would tell them about my business and I was excited about it, but I didn't really have that many other hobbies. I had my husband and dating him and going on some adventures, but really, that was the only thing I deemed to really be interesting about me at that point. And I found it uncomfortable still to some extent, where even now I'm like, well, I bought this really cool ukulele and I want to practice it, but there's no one making me work till 8 o'clock at night. I could stop at 7 o'clock and practice the ukulele. So it's also this like self-responsibility, self-leadership, shadowy stuff that I feel, you know, we just have to keep facing off with ourselves and diving into it. And I love your vulnerability to share your journaling session with us, because I think that's so real for most of us as entrepreneurs, if not all of us in some way.
Yeah. Okay. And then this comes, and we're going to wrap up soon, but this comes into like the book I was reading this morning, which is Living Untethered, which is like Michael Singer of The Untethered Soul. And I read that a decade ago, but I was reminded from the first couple pages of this book that like, you are the witness, the observer, like this, like the work gives you an identity, like, you know, like I'm Shandi Sack and I launched every big entrepreneurial women's book this year, or like I have this team. That's me. That's what I think of when I think of Shandi, because she was telling me what she was up to right now, you know, or like, yeah, like I'm a yoga teacher, or like I'm from Edmonton. Like all of these things aren't you. And in the book, he's like, you're the person who was looking in the mirror at 2 years old. That's the same you. And that's an ageless person. And none of the other things that you might be relating to, even your vision, even your family, all of that is outside of you and won't bring you into that feeling of whatever it is that you're looking for, I guess, is, I mean, I'm thinking that's what like the book was saying, is like all of these things that are outside of yourself, including your thoughts and your feelings, aren't actually the witness, aren't actually you, aren't actually the soul.
Ooh, I have a good thing to share on that, of the thoughts and feelings. And I also, in my brain, so I don't forget, this is a good book recommendation for anyone listening. I love Untethered Soul, definitely that one. And another good one is called Existential Kink. Can't remember the author, but really good shadow work kind of book with some really great prompts that I feel everyone listening to this, if you've been vibing, you would really like it. But there's a formula I came up with in my head that I've taught in my programs for years now. And it actually started off because when I left my corporate job, I became a personal trainer. And I noticed when I was working in the fitness industry, it was a women's gym, and women would constantly come in with basically the exact same thing. If they want to lose 10 pounds in 10 days before they go to Cancun or something, what kind of HIIT cardio can I prescribe for them to make this happen? And I realized that people are basically in this action and results loop. It's like, what action can I take to get the result? Whether that's dieting, fitness, business, relationships, and date, like it's all the same, where we're like, what do I need to do in order to get the thing? Which, if we come back to the manifesting piece, it's like, well, it's not about what do I need to do to make it happen, but how can I contribute to it happening? But then I also, from another perspective, realized that that's just part of the process, but it's not the whole process, the action and result piece. And what I tuned into, and I feel like this could be built upon even more, but basically is that it's our influences that create our thoughts, that create our feelings, that then create the actions and results. So our influences, I mean, is everything from our people in our lives to society, our childhood, all the things. And that's really the only thing I feel like we have some level of control of. Like, we can change our influences and our environment, especially as we become conscious to what we're allowing in and out of our field, ranging from music to Netflix to, you know, everything else. And that will, on some level, impact the kind of thoughts. And I like to think of thoughts as if we have this like little creek that like flows through us, where we can't really control the thoughts necessarily that pop up in there. I'm sure you guys get fucked up thoughts. I know I do. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but there's been times I'm driving on a road, I'm like, maybe I should just drive off that bridge right now. And I can fully say I'm not suicidal, but I'll have really weird thoughts and go, is that even mine? And I feel sometimes they're ours and they're distorted, or it's driven by our emotions and stuff. But also, we're intuitive, empathic people picking up on other people's energies as well. So our influences can create these thought streams, but then we get to be little fishermen and we get to scoop out with our net which ones we're going to focus on and cultivate and sit with, which is what in essence creates our feelings. And our feelings are really what motivate the type of action that we're going to take. You know, we're emotional based people, most of us, and how we feel about something is, it's a totally different experience. Let's say for the women that would come into the gym, if they're feeling low self-confidence, low self-worth, stressed out. And ultimately, when someone wants to lose 10 pounds to go to Cancun, it has nothing really to do with losing weight. It's, let's say they want to feel sexy in front of their husband on the beach and feel good about themselves. So it's not really about that. So realizing that those emotions just creates a totally different empowering versus disempowering situation, where if someone's disempowered and feeling low on themselves, then they're hoping for like a dopamine band-aid quick fix kind of situation, versus the person who's coming from this like empowered knowingness within them because of what they're choosing to focus on, because of the mindset work, the shadow work, you know, all these things will create a completely different approach to these things. And that's been something so big, you know, that honestly really sparked even becoming a leadership business type coach, was seeing the same thing play out with women over and over and over, and realizing like we can't just chase the action result loop forever and ever, because that just burns us out. So I think that's a big piece of this conversation too, is we can't control much. We can try, but I feel like we can control how we respond to things and what kind of environment we cultivate for ourselves. And if we catch ourselves fixating on a thought that maybe isn't serving us, we do have control to not focus on that continuously and pick something else. So I don't know, that's been a really empowering thing for me over the years, to realign and recenter when these pieces, these aspects come up on the journey.
Yeah, I love that. Like, influence is sort of at the top of the mountain, and it's your, everything else is trickling down from there. And influence can contain so much. Like, that could be everything from our childhood and our parents and our cultural programming. And then, yeah, like music, television, whatever we're surrounding ourselves with. Yeah. I love that analogy and such a good visual. I'm like seeing myself as a little fisherman, like picking up my trout, my choosing joy trout on this day.
I think my favorite part of this conversation, and what really is the most exciting to me, is how it feels like you are in your own life and for your clients, moving people away from things that disempower them. And I think we talk a lot about empowerment, not me and Shanti, but just like in the field, but like recognizing where you're being disempowered or where you're giving your power away. I feel like that might be an easier way into empowerment than like, I need to step up and empower myself in this way. So it feels really soft and fluid and beautiful. And yeah, I'm excited to get to know you better. And for our listeners, for them to find you so they can get to know you better, where's the best place to find you? Where do you show up happily in your fluid, empowered way most often?
Well, all the links, you can find it on soulmatestrategy.com, which is my brand, but I'm honestly a bit of a floater. I'm on Facebook, I would say mostly on Instagram, but I've also been spending more time on TikTok and my podcast. So basically, if you search Soulmate Strategy on more or less any platform, let's connect.
We will.
Thank you so much, Jenna. It was a really beautiful conversation.
Thanks for having me and sharing your depths of your journaling with us all today. I loved it.
Whoa, look at you listening to the very end. We are so deeply grateful for you and borderline obsessed with hearing what resonated most and how you're taking the seeds planted in these conversations and sowing them in your life and business. It would mean more than you know if you would share this episode with a friend or subscribe, rate, leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. Your reviews tell the algos behind the apps that we are worth pressing play on. So please, if you're feeling generous, take 2 minutes to share the love. And if you are curious around what your unique advantage is in this wild and wacky online world, take the unfair advantage quiz at shantizak.com/UA quiz. And thank you again, Sunshine. Go light up the world, and we'll see you next time.